more than bananas, how the Christian faith works for me and the whole universe. Episode 16, A Good Life in a Mixed Up World. I used to have a friend called Albert who, after wandering for a couple of lonely years through an Alzheimer's ravaged mind, died not so long ago. For much of his life, he'd been an asbestos salesman. Through the 1960s and 1970s, he would kiss his wife in the morning and set out in a succession of 1960s and 1970s cars to sell asbestos to the world. In his spare time, he was a preacher and a pianist, and indeed his piano skills stayed with him through much of his Alzheimer's. In the 1960s and 1970s, asbestos was a wonder material, saving lives by fireproofing rooms and widely used in the motor industry. Only in the 1970s was it generally understood to cause incurable lung disease. By the end of the 1980s, it had become a banned substance and is now expensively removed from buildings by people wearing single-use overalls and respirators who look like they could decommission chemical weapons in their spare time. Albert, inadvertently, gave the best years of his life to selling a deadly carcinogen. Many of us are like him. Development charities raised funds to drill thousands of wells in Bangladesh. They didn't know the water was laced with arsenic. The wells saved lives through better sanitation, only to then inflict on an estimated 77 million Bangladeshis what the World Health Organization has called the largest mass poisoning of a population in history. It was not an evil dictator who did this. It was charities, funded presumably by the proceeds of 1,000 church jumble sales and by people rattling tins in town centres on chilly Saturdays. Few of us perhaps escape unscathed from wondering if we've wasted our lives. Shortly after I left intensive care, my lung doctor found me eating a burger and fries. He could be forgiven for wondering why he had bothered chasing pneumonia out of my system, only for me to clog my heart's fuel lines with saturated fat. But then he didn't have to eat hospital food. Surgeons give alcoholics new livers and then watch them take up drinking again. Every political career, famously, ends in disaster. How do we live a good life? We live a good life by aligning ourselves with the kingdom and the king. To unpack a little, we fight the fall, improvise, act in faith, hope, and love. Fight the fall. We've seen often in this little book the way we all live in the shadow of the fall. As a species, we've collectively chosen a proud independence from God. As a species, we've been resentful and regretful ever since. We are unhappy divorcees from God, free from him but ruled by death, proud of choosing our own way but sad to be afflicted and lonely, opting out of his rule but missing out on his love. There's something heroic about the human species that, even having collectively rejected God, plagued by sin and death, incurable, we fight the fall on our own. Doctors fight diseases, even though they always lose in the end. Entertainers and artists of every kind fight sadness with hope or humour or inspiration, but the smiles are overwhelmed in the end. Good people live good lives and hope to leave a lasting heritage, but are followed by bad people who spoil it all. But when we learn that Christ is King, and when we surrender to him and his ways, these human instincts are suddenly infused with light and meaning because death is no longer on the winning side. In this perspective, when we fight the fall, we are serving Christ. Every little win is a sign, an instrument, a foretaste of what's to come. It all matters to a king who connects the present and the future and the old creation and the new, and who holds everything and everyone in his hands. We fight the fall for love of him and of our fellow humans, and to chalk up a score for the bright future over the tearful present. Why change the soiled bedclothes of a dying patient, because Christ is King? improvise. Christ's parables also teach us that the only way to do good in this world is to improvise. This is because we live in a provisional world. Once we get used to the idea, it's very freeing. There are only two outcomes for everything I will achieve in my life. Either it will be completely swept away by death, like a sandcastle in the incoming tide, or what survives will be finally revealed as a mixture of good impulses and acts, perhaps, but certainly also soaked in pride and selfishness. I will have regrets. That's a given. May as well be somewhat reckless in doing good, then. The call to improvise is to throw ourselves, unabashed, creative, free, using the best of our skills to serve the kingdom and the king. This can be in big or small things. Actually, we don't even know what is big or small. We just throw ourselves into what he leads us into, blooming where we're planted. Act in faith, hope, and love. Undergirding it all are three principles. Faith, we trust the King. Hope, we believe everything we do matters in the light of eternity. And love. The Bible is never more eloquent than on this theme. The familiar passage, much hijacked by marrying couples, is really about how life suddenly flames with meaning when you love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the way of love. Did my friend Albert, asbestos salesman to the world, live a good life? I believe he did. The fruit of Albert's whole existence has become a seed sown now, awaiting the resurrection. He followed the king provisionally, not knowing everything, but trusted him implicitly, served him enthusiastically, believed everything he did mattered, and he loved. The asbestos will be consumed in flames. The love will glow.